Welcome back to this week's episode of the Cover Zero podcast. Tonight, I'm your host, Jordan, as we recap week five. Henry is with me tonight. How you doing, bro?
Doing well. Got a victory tonight. Ugly victory, but at the end of the day, it's a W.
End of the day, indeed, is a W. That's what you want. Especially as you can continue to press on, as now October is upon us, and the first season, or the first quarter of the season, has for sure been the doors closed on it. So ending with a W is always valuable. On first reaction, considering looking back on this game tonight, a low scoring one, but nonetheless, Baltimore gets the win late. We talked about it a little bit off air. Do you think that the Ravens had more opportunities left on the field tonight than the Bengals did to close this one out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Two overthrown passes from Lamar Jackson that could have potentially, both of them would have been touchdowns. Yeah, well, there's a lot of plays we left out there on the field that I'm pretty sure once they go and look at the film of the past game that he wished they would have had back. But yeah, to answer your question, absolutely. 100%, too many left plays out there that would have changed the game, I believe, in our favor. No bias at all. That's just really tough. If you watch the football game, that's just real.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't connect on them either way. But I thought in the first half that the key between both teams was just how both offenses were really dealing with pressure from the other. We saw Cincinnati early was using later blitzes to add on to the pressure, or maybe even spy Lamar out of it. We even saw early on from the jump, your Ravens defense was playing physical in your face a lot of times, leaving their DBs in one-on-one coverage, and just the pressure was a lot, or they would have to check out if something they wanted to run to deal with the amount of people that were on the line of scrimmage tonight. Overall, defensively, I mean, this Ravens defense has been, I'd say, underperforming up to now. Do you think tonight was a statement win, or not a statement win, but a real good sign going forward for your defense more than your offense?
I hope so. I hope so, because it's been a real shitty versus the Dolphins, of course, versus the Bills. Those are the two games, of course, that come to mind. But absolutely, the corners are playing really well. Of course, we saw what Joe Burrow did to us last year in both those games, throwing for over 900 yards in combination of both of those games. So the only thing I did not like from the defense, I thought with that offensive line, how everybody else has been able to get pressure like that, I thought we were going to get more pressure than what we did.
In the second quarter, it kind of died off.
It did, yeah. First half was solid. Owe was getting there. JPP got there.
Bynes got there. Oh, God. JPP whooped Lyle Collins towards the end of the first half. He got him with this mean spin.
Yeah, but it just seemed like, and then remember, Jonah went down. So I thought, okay, it's going to be even more pressure. But no, it just seemed like they just took the foot off the pedal as far as the pass rush. But as far as the secondary played really, really well. But hopefully that can carry on. We got the Giants next week. Hopefully that can carry on to next week. And hopefully this is a statement game for the defense to say, okay, we were finding our footing, and yeah, let's keep it going forward.
Mm-hmm. Definitely kept a lid on this Bengals defense. Or this Bengals offense. I mean, it was one matchup where a lot of people are maybe looking, okay, finally Joe Burrow can get out of facing cover two and get some one-on-one looks. And if the line could hold up, maybe they were hoping they'd be able to have a lot more than what they did. Really, only Chase got loose on the one back shoulder throw, which was a pretty ridiculous catch.
You can't do that about that. That's I don't even get mad at those.
Not even a perfect throw, but just an unbelievable play.
Right. What are you supposed to do? There's nothing to do.
Yeah. But the overall, really impressive game. And I think tonight with this one, though, really made a statement in the AFC North. That division's, every team's kind of lingering around. It's just with what's going on with the rest of the AFC. I think Baltimore really need this, or, would have changed the forecast for what's ahead for this ball club. Right. But beyond this one, though, I think going forward for Cincinnati, that they have found maybe tonight a little bit of life into their running game. They went into this matchup with 2.7 to carry on the ground, and exited out of here with a lot of timely pickups by Joe Mixon. So hopefully both offenses, or both sides of the ball, the Ravens defense and the Bengals running game, can maybe tank something with this going forward and hope to continue to turn the tide. Because this was, man, we needed this type of close contest all the way through after what we got on Thursday night, considering. So speaking of Thursday night and the way that ended up, we're going to start with the segment that we do every Sunday now, leading into what's going on. Where just something that really made you just so confused and absolutely just dumbfounded on what occurred on a Sunday.
Hello, Cover Zero. This is the NFL Exec Office. How can I help you today?
What is going on?
So for you first, Henry, when you recap this Sunday in your mind, what's the thing that stood out as the most unexplainable or unacceptable from a professional ball club?
The defending Super Bowl champions, man.
What is going on?
And I know that Cowboys defense is over there legit. But, coming into this season, with the addition of Allen Robinson, and you know, what they just put on tape last year with that Super Bowl run that they just had. I'm disappointed in Sean McVay and this Rams offense, man. Matthew Stafford, maybe that little shoulder rumor, whatever was going on in the offseason, is really bothering him. But, yeah, the Rams offense, I don't like what they're saying. I don't like the run game. I don't like how out of sync the passing game is. I don't even know why they signed Allen Robinson. It seems like they're trying to force feed him instead of actually having him being a part of the offense. It's like, okay, this is a great player. Let's get him the ball. But instead of, like, let's have, like, a sync with the whole entire offense with Cooper Kupp, with the running backs. It just seems like they're just way out of whack right now. And it could be just the how bad that offensive line is playing and the loss of Andrew Whitworth to retirement. But mine, what's going on is going to definitely be the Rams. I don't like what they've been doing. The wins that they have haven't been, like, impressive wins at all. So, and then the Cowboys went in there just bullying Micah Parsons. He's had his way. So, yeah, mine, what's going on is the Rams and Sean McVay and that whole entire offensive staff over there.
That offensive line for the Rams is looking real, real tissue-like. Today, Stafford was brought down 5 times, 11 total quarterback hits, and 2 fumbles on it. I mean, some of them where he was just pressure in his face like that. The pressure sometimes almost beat the ball to his hands in the shotgun.
Of course, they all turned away all those draft picks. It paid off. They got the Super Bowl. That's what you play for. But it seemed like it's starting to try to bite them in their ass now, I would say, because they can't really go and invest in nothing like that because – they don't have the assets.
Right. Like, Andrew Whitworth is gone. Their starting right guard, I think it was Austin Blythe, he ended up leaving. And then they got Edwards back tonight, but even he looked like he was out of place, holding penalties, allowing pressures to DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, and you think about the impact that Micah Parsons had, and he even had, like, a hip injury that brought him out for a portion of this game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just something to really think about. And it's this Dallas defense, I think, is impressive in a way that at least I've been expecting.
I think they're real.
Yeah, like, I think last year they were very turnover prone. Everyone knows Trayvon Diggs was allowing all kinds of yards through the air, but he was getting all these picks. Right. Well, now we're seeing this Dallas defense get pressure consistently, locked down in the secondary. Most play a lot more penalty free than they were last season. So I think all of these are just really accumulating and then being able to survive while Dak's not even in the game. So, yeah, but what's going on definitely with the Rams? That needs to be something that can be figured out, because right now Stafford has been the most pressured quarterback that we have seen throughout this point in the season.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. This is why the Cover Zero podcast believes investing in your offensive line.
Oh, absolutely.
This is what it can look like.
Absolutely.
It's down to this. My, what's going on tonight? We remain in the NFC West. I got to look at the Seattle Seahawks defense and the special teams. Pete Carroll. Pretty much everything except for, like, maybe Geno Smith and parts of this offense is what's going on tonight.
What is going on?
Seattle right now is getting unique play from Geno Smith. He's playing like he was back at West Virginia right now. I mean, this guy is playing out of his skull. The number one graded quarterback, according to PFF, coming into this one. Of course, we've said it before on the show, not an end-all be-all, but if you're the number one graded quarterback, that's something that no one was going to expect for Geno Smith this year. He threw 3 touchdowns today. And DK ended up dropping another one that was in the end zone, and then a questionable holding call wiped out a 5th one on the rookie left tackle that they drafted, blanking on Charles Cross right now. But in the second quarter, right, it was 10-10. And after the first 3 and out from the offense that they forced, Al Woods ends up getting a sack. And then now they have to, they get the ball back. And Geno has just his first stalled drive of the day. Seattle then elects to punt from inside their own 20. And they call a fake punt. And I don't know if you saw the play or anybody listening did. When you call a fake punt, at least there's like a decisiveness. Like, we're going to throw it. We're going to run. We have a blocking. It was like some blocking established in front of the guy who's going to run with the ball. No, they snapped it to this dude. And he did like the coffin corner, like he's trying to trot to the side. And then he starts sort of trying to run. And he's the least athletic dude on the field. He ends up fumbling. And it's the Saints ball inside the 14-yard line. Like, why are we doing this? Like, what's the point of this?
Right.
You know, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. And if you watch this game and you saw how it unfolded, Taysom Hill just ran all
over the
Seahawks. Like, Taysom Hill had a Lamar-esque game today. It was just, I don't necessarily see how this team, who, if we thought anything, that it would be just not gargantuan holes and not just these gaping scores after allowing 40-plus to Detroit the previous week, They allow 39 to the Saints when they have Andy Dalton and they don't have Jarvis Landry and they don't have Michael Thomas. This is bad. Like, and you don't need it to be all like, if it was just allowing 28, like Geno is putting up enough points to keep you guys afloat. And yet this just, this continues to happen. So yeah, my what's going on is just got to be the Seattle Seahawks defense, special teams, and something that they're getting really to the point that Geno and the offense is the only thing keeping this team from being terrible right now.
Right.
And that's saying something about this squad.
Nobody, just like you said, nobody saw that coming.
Right. He's the sustaining force. But speaking of sustaining forces and things that stand out, we're going to move into the ICU segment where we talk about just what caught our eye and people that we want to give props to. Let them know that we see him.
What's up, player? I see you.
Henry, tonight, who gets your ICU?
It's going to be one that I had, I want to say, about 2 weeks ago. And that's going to be the Eagles, bro.
What's up, player? I see you.
It seems like they can beat you a different type of way. I love what I saw from that last drive for them to go the drive to give them the game-winning points that they had. They pretty much went back to how they were playing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just run the ball.
Screen pass. They kept throwing screen passes. Arizona was like, are we going to come after you? And he's like, all right, screen.
Yeah, so I love – so that's showing that they can win in different type of ways. They can come out and they can come throw the ball very well. Or they can come down and play some bully ball and just run it down your throat. So I love what I'm seeing from there. Jalen Hurts is still over there doing his thing. He shut me up because I wasn't a believer. But he's over there doing his thing. That team, man, we got a great next Sunday night football game over there with Dallas Cowboys when they play the Dallas Cowboys. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, my ICU is going to go to the Eagles and that organization. And once again, every time I talk about the Eagles, I'm going to give this man a shout-out. Howie Roseman, man. I love what he did in the offseason, man. He was just so aggressive. He never stopped trying to find ways to make the team better. Position that they thought he was strong at, got even stronger at. I just love what he did in the offseason, man. He really killed it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. My season's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles again, and the last undefeated team in the NFL.
5-0. They skated at the end. Yeah. Arizona on their backup kicker. Missed that kick, sliced it right. They showed that dude the biggest like curse of all time, that network. If I'm Amendola's family, I'm like upset at the network because they kept showing, look at him missing right like 6 times in pre-warmups today. Like, dang, they had the camera on this man in warmups. Like, yeah. And then what's he do? Slice it right in the middle of all the pressures on. But no, I mean, they're continuing to show that I think they're the strongest team when it comes to both sides of the ball and just really not having any noticeable or glaring weaknesses to this point in the season. Right. And that's really saying a lot. And yeah, you can't really say enough about what Howie Roseman done, acquiring all the pieces in the secondary he did between CJ Gardner-Johnson and James Bradbury, and then also dealing on draft day and grabbing AJ Brown. I mean, any team would have really, if you think about it, done it to, hey, we're just going to trade your first round pick for AJ Brown. Cool. Like, why not? You know, so like things like that are just what you really love seeing a GM doing like that. And you've seen it pay off on the field. And we all were kind of, all of us didn't expect this, I think, on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
You know, outside of really Philly fans, maybe Cordae was hopeful that he definitely could do this, but I don't know if necessarily he was putting it out there that Jalen Hurts would be playing at this type of a level. So he looks a lot more patient out there. He's completing more high percentage of his throws. He's in such a better command in front of that offense. And when you can play behind a line like that, that just kind of allows you to sit back there and operate. And you also are able to run the ball when you need to with your legs. You have a really nice run concepts built in with your stable of running backs and all the pieces up front that we were talking about. So there's a lot to like with this Philly team, and they continue to roll at 5-0. My ICU is actually kind of something that I've noticed as a trend lately in the NFL the last couple weeks primarily. And my ICU's got to go to the rejuvenation of NFL rushing attacks as a whole.
What's up, player? I see you.
Yeah.
I've been on record on this show a lot of times. You know, it's a passing league. I favor the pass, you know, all the passing concepts. That's just something that I, you know, for a while have really put my horns to in terms of philosophical approaches for offenses. But right now, we've started to see this last year where teams really started dedicating more towards the three safety looks, the lighter boxes, really worried about the pass, inviting the run, two high shells, stuff like that. And now the counterpunch is coming through where teams are really willing to run the ball on you,
yeah,
even if it just wasn't necessarily in their playbook as much as it was before. You're seeing the Chargers this year, who have Justin Herbert, one of the strongest arms in the league, Today, they go in and put up 30 points on the board with 465 total yards of offense. But on the ground, they had 34 carries for 238 yards, 7 yards a pop. Austin Eckler today averaging 10.8 a tote on the ground. Most explosive play of the game was Austin Eckler ripping off a 60-yarder. Passing yards-wise, it was 227. So this team put up 30 points, 465 total yards, and they averaged more points per rush than they did per pass. 7 yards per carry on the ground, 6.5 yards per pass.
That's impressive.
Very impressive. In the same game they're playing against, the Browns, we all know what they like to do. Right. We all know their MO. 6.8 per carry, or 6.8 per pass, 6.9 per carry. Nick Chubb was just a sustaining force for this offense. And the Browns have really been surprising people a lot in the North right now, just with how, regardless of the fact that you really want to force that team to throw, they're still going to be able to move the ball on you on the ground, even still. We mentioned earlier what Taysom Hill and this New Orleans offense was able to do. I mean, they ran the ball 48 times on the Seahawks today. Like, we don't care. We're just going to run it, like it's old school type of ball, right? I mean, even Seattle, they averaged 7.2 yards per carry on the ground. Their most explosive play of the day was a 69-yarder by the rookie Cam Walker. We even saw the Packers today, someone with Aaron Rodgers. They averaged 4.7 on the ground per play. They averaged 4.9 per pass. Very, very similar. And we all know the Giants' recipe has been this year. Their most explosive play of the day was Saquon Barkley on a 41-yard run.
Yeah.
NFL offenses now are like at that spot. Okay, I think we're starting to see the shift of the pendulum. You want to play for the pass so much to eliminate explosive plays. Okay, we're going to lean into the run that even if sometimes where it's like, oh, I really should have passed there because maybe you got 2 or 3 yards. They're going to lean into it again. Make you stop us. And I think for football purists, I think this is a good thing to see. And if your offensive line is capable of opening up holes in the run game, you're able to see successes for teams that you may not necessarily have seen before. So just wanted to make out a point for that today, but definitely what we had seen. We will now shift gears to the last point we're going to get to. Last topic is the Monday Night Football game with the Raiders traveling to Kansas City to face the Chiefs.
Good game for y'all, man.
Man, I'm going to let you know. I want to hear your thoughts on it first. Just to kind of go ahead and shape what we're looking at when this game comes up. If the Raiders are to win, if they lose this one, it's 1-4. We all know what type of tumbleweed that looks like. Just avalanche is more so like a snowball, I should say. But if the Raiders are to get a win, mind you, everyone, this Chiefs team did lose to Indianapolis. That's their only loss. The crazy things can happen in the NFL. What do the Raiders need to really lean into if they want to get this dub?
If they want to win, I think Chandler Jones needs to get paid what he's getting paid. And deserves to get to that quarterback, man. You got to hit Patrick Mahomes. You got to get him uncomfortable in there. You got to and then when you get him uncomfortable, you already know who he's going to go look for. He's going to go look for Travis Kelce. In order for you guys to get this win, I think you guys just got to get some pressure with Max Williams and Chandler Jones in there. And
hit Crosby?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Crosby, and hit that quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, man. I think just what you just spoke of, I think that run game got to get going. I know Devontae Adams is over there, and of course he's going to do his thing, but I think it should be a good game for the running backs to try to get the running game going to also keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. I think if you guys win the time of possession in this game, I want to say by at least 7 minutes, I think you guys can pull it out, but I think that's going to be very hard because it's hard to keep that Chiefs offense off the field, especially when we just saw what they just did over there in Tampa Bay.
Oh, that was mean.
Yeah.
That was mean.
I think, in order for you guys to pull this upset off, I would say you got to hit Patrick Mahomes and keep him off the field. So that means you guys got to convert those third downs. You got to stay on the field. Offense got to stay on the field to get maybe, do some 8-minute drives, some 10-minute drives, something like that. Like I said, keep him off the field, and I think you guys can pull the upset.
I think it's really, for us, it's like, the idea of run the ball on the Chiefs is in theory, I love it. But as soon as one of those drives doesn't work and the Chiefs get going, then you get separated by them. Yeah. I think you want to definitely do that because this Raiders team has had a lot of problems staying ahead of the sticks, like staying in manageable down and distances. Right. And the running game is something that can really do that, especially for this team. Obviously, like last week, like you brought up, using that run game, the Raiders don't get that W if it's not for how they just pounded the ball against Denver, who's a respectable defense. Yeah. Devontae Adams still had his 100, but pound the rock. I think the mixture of using the run to just simply sustain drives and an aggressive Derek Carr is what we really need. He's got to go downfield, and he's got to take advantage of what he's got on the outside. The only time that he's really been able to go toe-to-toe with this Chiefs team since they've been the regime that they are is when he was attacking downfield two seasons ago in 2020 in Kansas City. And then again on a Sunday night game during the COVID season. So those are the best times where Derek Carr just was able to match and light up the scoreboard just to put the pressure on the Chiefs, because Chiefs aren't like unbeatable. We've seen this so many times. Yeah, we talk about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's there is you just have to be able to hang with them and keep it there. It's easy. Of course, it's easier said than done. Last year, the Chiefs went and put the Raiders on a freaking hibachi grill and closed it shut. So, I mean, I think for the Raiders to win, that's really what it has to be. A combo of using the run to sustain drives, keep you in manageable positions, work off the play action and some aggressive shots downfield to your playmakers. Supposed to get Hunter Renfrow back for this one. I think that'll help just really spread things out. And the Raiders likely, I think, found their key, or at least their five-man unit that they want to roll with for the offensive line right now. They've been intentionally shifting them up and swapping guys in and out here or there. But I think looking from left to right, they're going to look at Colton Miller, Alex Barrs at the left guard, Andre James at center. The rookie, who's playing really well, our third-round pick, Donald Parham, and then the right tackle, seventh-round pick, Thayer on the outside. So, yeah, we'll see if that unit can be able to continue to make paths for Josh Jacobs. But right now, this Raiders team has just not been playing well enough for me to honestly sit here and say they're going to be the Chiefs. I can't do it. I would love
that's,
it.
It's funny, that, man. Me and Josiah was at a wedding yesterday with our good friend, and I was like, man, I just don't trust our defense to stop the Bengals, but yeah, so trust me, I get it, man. I get it.
It's tough to do, you know. Just play better. You know what I mean? Play better. Hang with them. Don't get walked out of there. Just don't have just play better. Overall, I want to see them compete. And if they're aggressive and can keep it there, then maybe who knows? It's football any given Sunday.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a good game. It's gonna be a good game.
What's your final score?
I'm gonna go 24-21 Chiefs.
24-21 Chiefs. Let's say 28-24 Chiefs. 4-point game. 28-24. I can't. Can't do it.
I respect it.
Of course, I want us to win, but I can't. If I'm going to be like dead honest, like, yeah, you know, if I'm going to be dead honest, yeah, 28-24, that means we could win, but it's uphill battle. And I'm with you, man. If we see something from Chandler, that's going to help things all that much more.
He's one of the big additions this offseason, and yeah, he hasn't delivered yet.
Yeah, Raiders can't get out from that deal without really just injuring themselves in the dead cap market, and even if they do later on. So, yeah, got to pay him another $15 million or so next season, too. Ugh. Ugh. Bruh. Come on, Chandler. Show me something. National stage. One extra day of rest. Yeah.
Let's see. Hopefully, he'll come through.
Hopefully. Appreciate everybody tuning into the Cover Zero podcast tonight. Congrats on your Ravens again, bro.
Yeah, we needed it.
We will catch you guys on Thursday for our, week 6 preview. Week 6 preview. Yeah. Rolling along. Everybody take care of yourself. Subscribe to the shows if you haven't already, and we'll see you next week.